Welcome. Ray and Tay today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay today, talking
sports. Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. It's Friday, and you're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Join the show. It's Friday, fool. Shout out to Charlie Cassidy. Says that on the NFL Network. I love that, man. But you know what? Join us. It's a Hall of Fame show. 718-664-9098. Like always, shoot us your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Tweet at us at rayandtaytoday. Like us on Facebook, YouTube. Check out the videos there. And Ray, tell them, we got a good website, man. Go to rayandtaytoday.com. Check us out. What's going on, Ray?
We got some breaking news. This, by the way, I said Friday because it's Hall of Fame Friday. So every so often, Ray and Tay, they'll talk about Hall of Famers to be, Hall of Famers that should be, and Hall of Famers that will be. So we'll be talking Hall of Fame talk. So hang on for that Hall of Fame talk. But let's get into some breaking news first. Apparently, the Lakers are offering, finally, Byron Scott a job. At this point, I don't know if I'll even take it. But
amen to that.
Byron wants a head coaching job, and the Lakers is about as good as it gets. So that's one bit of breaking news. I'm reading here that Vic Ballard tore his ACL. So that's another piece of breaking news in the world of sports. Torn Achilles.
That hurts.
We got Ray Rice being suspended for 2 games. We'll get into that a little bit. And I think that's the big breaking news. Anything else you got
What? Training camps are open, and they'll officially – everybody will be open, I guess, by Saturday or Sunday. It all led off earlier this week from the Giants and Bills. But today, no beast mode. Marshawn Lynch holding out. Yeah, you know, he's 28, getting ready to turn 30, 29 during the season. And he wants a new contract. Like Jamal Charles has got his new contract. You saw Andre Johnson reported to camp for the Texans. So good for that situation. But do you give him – you know, even though you got to pay Russell Wilson, you've done all these other guys, you know, he's still beast mode. I can't rely on Turbin and Christian Michael. Do you sort of give him a little bonus money or something to make him happy or no? Or do you say, come in and then maybe we negotiate?
I have completed in this one because, look, Miles is on his tires.
You're breaking up pretty bad.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, but can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
But it's tough. It's tough when you're a 29-year-old back and you have that much mileage. It's tough. Look, he's got 2 more years left on his contract, and he's afraid that after next year he's going to get cut. So you give him a little bonus now, but he's
it's real hard to hear you breaking up, but I know I agree with exactly what you're saying, right? Because the old benchmark is you don't want to be a free agent as a 30-year-old back, and that's what he would be. And he wants some guarantees and insurance and some more money. He says he wants it for his foundation. He's big into that. He just got like 16 or 17 million a couple years ago in terms of guaranteed money and a bonus. And look, it's the same thing with Andre Johnson. He wanted the guarantee that the Texans won't cut him in 2015, and they said they won't. And to me, Andre Johnson is still number one wide receiver, top 6 or 5 and best still in the league. So I think the Texans need to keep him. I say, you know what, Marshawn, come in, and maybe they just do, you know, NFL contracts are funny money anyway. Give him a little something, sign a bonus or whatever, and give him a little bit more than, I guess, the $4 million he's supposed to get this year. Switching gears, though, forget this football stuff. And, you know, you hate to hear about the injuries and training camp is starting, but I guess before we leave it, I got to ask you, what about Johnny Manziel? he comes in, he says, look, you know, I maybe made some mistakes, but I'm a rookie, I'm 21. I still like to go out, though, and I'm fun, and there's nothing wrong with that. Other people do, not comparing myself to other people. It's hard to say what comes first, the chicken or the egg. Do you go out and the people take pictures of you, or does he not go out? I mean, what gets him in good graces with his teammates, the owner, and the coaches that he gets to be the starting quarterback week one or week four or five after the bye week? Can't hear you at all. Yeah, maybe you can call in on a landline or something. I don't know. Can't really. No, I can't hear you at all. I don't know. It's just breaking up really bad. So I think the main thing that people need to think about is, look, Joe Namath went out and partied. You know, a bunch of other guys went out and partied. It is what it is. I just think it's the time and era we're living in. You know what I mean? Joe Namath was a superstar partying. I'm sure, you know, Bradshaw and other guys did. Ray, you back with us?
I'm back.
There we go.
I'll see if that's better. Okay.
Yeah,
so with Johnny Manziel, I think the thing to keep in mind is that he probably has to tone it down a little bit.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think Johnny has to tone it down a little bit and then earn his stripes on the field, and then he could go back to being Johnny Football.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm breaking up again. Are you there still?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. So
Johnny Manziel, bottom line is he's got to earn it off the field first.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you're still there. I'm having trouble hearing you.
But I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. So I think really we need to look at what's going on in some other sports. I mean, Johnny, it's going to be what it's going to be. Monday we'll talk some fantasy football in our training camp special and fantasy football special. The Urban Daily audience and Radio 1. But I guess with this Hall of Fame Friday, we're going to get through these Hall of Famers. But real quick, baseball, what's going on, man? The Yankees are hot, what, 7 out of 8 or 6 out of 7, and look like they're really pushing the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, 6 out of 7 since the All-Star break, and they got a big series coming up now with Toronto. So, like somebody said, I think it was Buster only. You hate to chase two teams. You only want to be chasing one team. So if you can get rid of Toronto and then have your eyes set on Baltimore, you got a couple months to catch Baltimore. So Yankees pitching is great. The starters, the bullpen, Brandon McCarthy is a huge pickup. The Yankees just can't hit. So hopefully the Yankees can turn their hitting around because their pitching is overachieving, frankly.
Definitely. I have to agree with you on that, but the Orioles seem to be, you know, holding or standing pat because they've been winning, so they're still three up with 56 wins, and Yankees are 53. It's interesting to see with some of these other teams that could be, you know, going for a wild card. Yankees are up on Kansas City because they got 51 wins. You know, obviously they're not going to catch the Angels, it doesn't look like, with 60 wins, but they're right on pace with those Mariners, and Robinson Cano, baby. 53-49. So the AL and baseball, they're going to be some nice pennant races. Should be fun. Obviously, the Yankees have a half a game lead on the Mariners with only 48 losses. What are you thinking about the West? The Pirates have been winning, and they're trying to catch up to St. Louis and Milwaukee. I mean, the National League. And you know things are heating up.
They're sort of tied for second now, only three back behind Milwaukee.
Yeah, that Central is crazy. And that whole, between Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, Cincinnati, if they get it to that, I mean, that Central is anybody's game. And that's going to come down to late September, I think, and they're going to all play each other. So that's a coin flip right now.
Yeah, no, definitely, crazy. And a lot of injuries. Besides Tanaka, we've got other pitchers,
on
the DL and stuff. And
what
do you think?
Skype and your phone.
Say it again?
I said you're in on Skype and on your phone. You got a little echo going on.
Okay, yeah. The Skype was going a little dead, so let me see here. But let's see. So what do you think in terms of the playoff run, who goes and gets David Price?
Well, not only that, but who would the Rays send him to? Because I'm sure the Yankees would love to have him. So I'm not sure that the Rays would give him up in the division.
But the Rays have been hot. They won seven straight, too, though. Look at the Rays.
They did, and kudos to them. So I'm not sure who's got the money for David Price, too. I mean, you may have a Milwaukee situation with CeCe Sabathia where the team that gets him knows they're only getting him for the stretch run, and they may not be able to sign him because he's going to want $20 million a year, so for 5-6 years. So
what do you think the Mariners? They might have the money, you think? It's a question of do they want to?
They just paid King Felix. They just paid Cano. Are
That's
they going to have a third guy that makes $20 million a year?
I don't know. We'll see. So bouncing around real quick, let me ask you this. I mean, obviously some NBA free agency stuff and some, potential controversy, the Sterling stuff, the books showed it was a grossly overpayment. They don't know if they're going to definitely be able to get rid of him. Chris Paul mentioned, maybe a boycott. How does this get cleaned up by training camp and the start of the tip-off of the season?
It's funny because I don't think it does. I think that the players, and Chris Paul in particular, because he's a Clipper and because he's the president of the players' union, they have to go on faith that the NBA as a league is doing as much as they can, because Donald Sterling has been known to sue and for the last 30, 40 years has been in and out of the courtroom constantly. So there's no way, in my opinion, that this gets resolved easily or quickly. The guy was offered $2 billion for an asset that's probably worth half of that. Most people would say, I had a good run. I bought it for, $12 million 30 years ago. I'm the longest tenured owner in the NBA. I'll just walk away. But even at $2 billion, he didn't want to walk away. So he's got the resources to sue the NBA. I don't think this ends anytime soon, and I don't think this ends quickly, or I should say cleanly.
Yeah, and that's sad because I think the NBA, in a lot of ways, is at a new time, high. The off season's been incredible. The playoffs were incredible. The finals, ended quickly, but still exciting. So much to talk about. And NBA, their off season with free agency, with the whole LeBron and Melo dominated, even, making people not even talk about football and, baseball so much. So I'm sort of surprised that, he's not going to do the NBA any favors and need some goodwill. So a couple things. The Heat are like, look, we're not talking about signing back Beasley or Greg Oden. I think they have like 11 guys on a roster now, so they might have to, fill it up with somebody. Your boy, Omri Caspi, is trying to go back to the Sacramento Kings. So he's on waivers, so we'll see what happens with that. And how about this, Ray? What are your thoughts with your guy, Mark Cuban, who people don't know, Ray has written Mark Cuban a letter before he won the championship about how he needs to get it together. Well, you know what? Now with the superstar Dirk taking so much less money, they just signed two key veterans in Jameer Nelson. So they have him, Devin Harris, and Ray Felton at the point guard, and Devin Harris is more of a combo, one or two. And then they sign Al-Farouq Aminu, who played with the Pelicans for years. What do you think about those two pickups? And they also released Rashard Lewis, who had some funny business with his knee. You like the Mavs?
Yes, I do. I think they're all nice pickups. The problem I have is the neighborhood that they're in. So even with all of these pickups, they're not better than the 5th, 6th, 7th seed in the West. So these are all great, but I don't even think they win a first-round matchup. And then if they do, then they definitely lose in the next round. So,
right.
You know, they had a nice run. They won a championship. Dirk's going to go out as a champion, but I just think that that Western Conference is so brutal that when your best two players are Dirk at the backside of his career and Monte Ellis, that and Vince Carter and all these guys.
No, Vince is gone. It's Chandler Parsons.
I'm just saying, take this year. Take this year, right? And Vince Carter. Right. And now Chandler Parsons, you take your big three and you put them up against the Clippers, you put them up against the Thunder, you put them up against the San Antonio Spurs.
The Rockets, even.
Yeah, it's so hard in the West.
So at best, you're saying they could be in that 4 or 5 game matchup and maybe get lucky
at
to get
best.
Out of there.
At
yeah,
best.
And they still got to compete with Houston, Portland, Golden State. The West is, Ray, the West is impossible. It's just impossible. It really is. Let me ask you this. One thing that's interesting, I see Blake Griffin dropped out of the, you know, the FIBA World Cup, which is just, you know, basically the World Games that's been going on for years. They're just changing the name. And so Griffin bows out, and so probably assures a spot for DeMarcus Cousins and Kevin Love and those guys. How good do you think Cousins could wind up developing in this young Kings roster with Darren Collison, your boy Ben McLemore, Nick Stauskas? These guys just won the Summer League title. They probably need a power forward. You know, they have Carl Landry and Jason Thompson. They can improve on that. But what do you see with how this making this team could potentially boost and change the career and the trajectory of DeMarcus Cousins, who's full of talent?
Yeah, Derek, I mean, DeMarcus Cousins, his problem has never been talent. His problem is maturity and leadership because he's so far, by far the best player on his team that I fear, you know what I fear? I fear.
Well, I don't think he's better than Rudy Gay. I don't think he's necessarily better than Rudy Gay.
I think he is. I think Rudy Gay is maxed out. I think Rudy Gay is a great athlete that can do big things, but Rudy Gay is not a leader. Rudy Gay is not a guy that you build your team around. He's a fantastic player, but for some reason, Rudy Gay is missing that. And even at Connecticut, there were these, you know, thoughts about Rudy Gay. So to me, DeMarcus Cousins needs to be the leader of that team. He needs to step up and become a mature leader because talent-wise, there's no reason he can't be the best center in the NBA. Because he's another guy like Anthony Davis who grew up as a young guy, so he's as a young, smaller guy, so he's got ball skills, and he's just phenomenally talented. So this is a guy that really should step up and be fantastic. The problem with Sacramento for the last 10 years is they've had no glue. You know, they've had talented pieces, but they've had no glue. They've also struck out in the draft a few times, and the one draft pick that they did get is now playing for New Orleans, right? They had a rookie of the year, but they decided not to keep him.
Tyreek Evans, yeah.
You know, Tyreek, they decided not to keep him.
Yeah, and he probably wouldn't have re-signed. So that also, I think, was an issue. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see how all this, you know, plays out. But I guess, obviously, for some of those younger teams in the West, it's just really difficult to crack through. You know, and be someone that can just get through that top 8 or 9. So I think we need to get ready and get the fans hyped up because in the next couple of weeks, you're going to have baseball, basketball, and football Hall of Fame inductions, and we'll talk about them on another show. But when we come back, we're going to talk about guys who might be on the verge, the edge, potential Hall of Famers, maybe guys who can't make it, but guys that we're going to present that are close to being in the Hall of Fame. Ray and Tay.
Hello, hello. We're back, and it's Hall of Fame Friday. So let's get into it. We decided to go with one player who we each believe should be in the Hall of Fame and make the case for your Hall of Famer in baseball, basketball, and football.
You want to set it off?
Yeah, so we decided to look at players that are borderline in every one of these sports. So let me start. I'll start first. I'll go.
Who's your baseball guy, man?
My baseball guy is Torrey Hunter.
Woo!
And the reason why Torrey Hunter to me is a Hall of Famer is because defense is still a very important part of the game. And if you look at his offensive stats, they don't blow you away. He strikes out a lot, got almost 1,600 strikeouts. He's never hit great for average. He's a career 279 hitter. His on-base plus slugging is 800. He's got 320 home runs, not great, 1,287 RBI. But this guy, for the better part of a decade, was the best center fielder and the best defensive outfielder in the game. So if his offensive stats were borderline, his leadership and his defense definitely put him over the top. So to me, Torrey Hunter has earned his way, and he's done it on multiple teams now, right?
And he's been a clutch veteran too, right? I mean, the last, like, 5 years, he's still been timely hitting, clutch.
He was the young stud in Minnesota for years, and then he went to the Angels, and now with Detroit, he's the wily veteran. So, to me and for my money, Torrey Hunter is a Hall of Famer. And those who don't, to me, don't value his defense nearly as much as they should, because the first thing they're going to do is look at his offensive stats and say they're below those of a Hall of Famer. But to me,
Gold Glover,
his Gold Gloves.
Yeah, good arm.
And put him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, this guy was a fantastic center fielder, and he saved so many runs over the years for the Minnesota Twins especially.
I like that. I like that. I'm not mad at Torrey Hunter, and he's still balling. So, you know, his story is not finished yet. I had two guys I thought about. One's finished, and the other one is still balling like your guy, and I'm going to go with the guy still balling. But I would say that the Colorado Rockies, Todd Helton, is somebody that I think, you know, is right there on that edge. But I decided to go with a Cardinal, a Royal, a Met, a Yankee, currently, Carlos Beltran. 17 seasons, and he was one of those guys who, when he finally just won with the Cardinals 2 years ago, it really was, you know, you were happy for him because he's had a great long career, had some couple years that are up and down. You know, like Torrey Hunter, I would say he's not the greatest hitter, 281 in terms of the batting average, but getting that World Series, having very good defense, winning three Gold Gloves, I think, you know, a couple Silver Sluggers, he had two Silver Sluggers, seven All-Star appearances, and what I like is that he was, you know, clutch in the playoffs and the World Series. He batted 286 and 296 in the playoffs and in the World Series, had over 400 on-base percentage. Now, not crazy in the home runs, but he's got 368, and he's got over 1,300 ribbies. So a little bit better than Torrey Hunter with the at-bats in terms of that, with the stick, 1,368 to be exact. But I think Carlos Beltran, to me, and just like with Torrey Hunter, both of them, you don't like to see stat compilers, but I think actually you got to also reward longevity And I don't think they're just hanging on to hang on. I think they've been quality players in both of them. So I'd present, like Tal presented, Ray presented Torrey Hunter, I would present Carlos Beltran and say, hey, you know what, Carlos Beltran to me is a Hall of Famer. I think, you know, he had 4 years batting over 300, he had a couple of heavy home run seasons. So Carlos Beltran would be my guy for a Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Someone that might surprise guys. Yeah, man, Carlos, baby. So let's hoop it up, man. Look, there's a lot of guys. And two of our favorite guys are going in this year, Mitch Richmond and Gary Payton, the glove. So that should be kind of fun for the Hall of Fame. But who are you looking at in basketball, man?
So now you and I probably both put this guy in the Hall of Fame. But my fear is that if you're young, and a lot of our listeners are young out there, if you're under 30, you might not remember how good this guy was and how dominant he was for 6 years. So he was like Don Mattingly. He just dominated his position, his sport. He was first-team All-NBA for 6 years. He made the All-Star team his first five or his first 6 years. He averaged ridiculous stats in Detroit. It was like 22-8-6. I mean, this guy was just crazy. And it wasn't just stat stuffing. He was the ultimate complete player. And then, unfortunately, his body gave out, starting with his leg. And then for the next 12 years, basically, was a slightly above average player. So
right.
I'm
still playing good defense, still good passer.
Yeah.
And
so
with
the
Professional Basketball Hall of Fame, Ray, you got to include college too, right? They include college, so we know what he was in college.
Right. So the guy's name is Grant Hill, if you don't know who we're talking about. And if I gave you his career stats, and I told you he averaged 16.7 a game, and he only shot 31% from three, he shot 77% from the line, 48% from the field, and he averaged a little under 17 points, six rebounds, and four assists.
A story.
That's solid. That's solid. But you got to give him almost like Gale Sayers credit that this guy, if it weren't for his leg and if it weren't for his injury, this guy would have been a dominant small forward for a decade, if not 15 years. And he is the real deal. Grant Hill is a no-doubter Hall of Famer.
The versatility, Ray, of a LeBron and a Pippen. Before LeBron, was LeBron. Obviously, LeBron's like a lot bigger, but it's 6'7", 6'8". Grant Hill could get in the post. He could do everything. And very smart, too.
Yes, for sure. And he was one of those guys that I think it was one of those years in Detroit where, like Pippen did in Chicago, he led the team in every stat. It was points, assists, rebounds, steals. He led them in everything. And he's the ultimate versatile player. We know what he did in college. He was a freshman and a sophomore on those back-to-back national championship teams at Duke. And in the pros, if you want to have a guy with the right attitude who could defend multiple positions, who didn't really have a weakness, I mean, maybe outside shooting, he wasn't great, but he was good enough. This guy is the real deal. And Grant Hill, for 6 years, was the best small forward in the game. So I'm hoping that those 6 years outweigh, the next 12.
I think he's in. He's a Hall of Famer, man. He's the man. He's definitely the man. Well, I'm going with a guy that started a lot of trends. He was the number one pick from the Orlando Magic. He is a part of the Fab Five. He never got a championship in college or the pros, but he was a baller, and his name is Chris Webber. He averaged 7 points a game, basically 21 points a game, 9.8 rebounds, so like 10 rebounds a game. This is impressive, and he was dominant in doing this as a big guy. 4.2 assists. He had some seasons where he averaged over 5 assists a game. Very incredible. 1.4 steals and 1.4 blocks. And to me, shooting 47% from the field, that's amazing. What I like about Chris Webber, Ray, when the Western Conference was at its sort of like heyday and battles, when he was on Sacramento and they battled against the Lakers and, lost 7 games and that, Stojakovic and that team and Bibby, Webber was a huge part of that, Vlade Divac, and they just couldn't get over the hump, so they never got to really, you know, playing the championship or win a ring. You know, he was Rookie of the Year in 94, like I said, the number one pick in 93. But what I love about this guy, he shot 63% in the playoffs. And out of his, you know, however many seasons he played, was it like 19 seasons? 10 years. You know, remember, he was at Golden State. He was at the Wizards. He was at Sacramento. I mean, he went to, and I'm sorry, back then they were the Washington Bullets, Ray. You remember that when they were
Bullets.
Him and Juwan Howard and, you know. So I think, to me, Chris Webber was a dominant power forward when he battled against Duncan, Rasheed Wallace. You remember when the Western Conference had all those fours.
The Western power forwards were crazy.
Crazy. And Webber, to me, he was without a doubt one of the best. The playoffs, the stats dropped down a little bit. In his 10 years in the playoffs, he was at sort of basically 15-8-3. So, but his field goal percentage went up. It was 63%. So that's major in the playoffs. He was putting in buckets. He just didn't, you know, evidently get enough attempts to go from 47% to 63%. That's amazing. So to me, Chris Webber, man, he was, cats might not remember him. You see him on TNT now and this and that. But Chris Webber, Ray, he was a baller and I would say a Hall of Famer. So let's finish strong with the NFL, man. I know we also had some other guys. You were talking about Chauncey Billups, and I was talking about his backcourt mate, Richard Hamilton, who says he wants to come back. So there's a lot of guys that we could, you know, mention and talk about, like Donnie Baseball and baseball, too, should be in the Hall of Fame. What you got for the NFL, Ray? Break it down for the fans.
Most of the time we go with offensive players, and I'm going to go with a defensive player. Now, the day of the specialist in defense started about 20 years ago, the pass rushing defensive end, and nobody personifies that better than this guy should be in the Hall of Fame. Jared Allen came into the league with Kansas City in 2004 and had 9 sacks as a rookie. And then every year after that, so up until last year, had double-digit sacks every season except for one, 2006.
Wow.
And not only that, but he had a 15.5 sack season, 2 14.5 sack seasons, and a 22 sack season with Minnesota. So this guy's got 128.5 sacks.
And he's going to ball out this year with the Bears, right?
Oh, yeah. And he's going to be replacing Julius Peppers on the Bears. And this guy is the real deal. And you know what? He impacts the game not just as a rush defensive end. I mean, you have to know where Jared Allen is at all times. He also makes tackle. He plays the run decently. Of course, he's a pass rusher first and foremost. But
right.
Since the beginning when, let's say, like a Charles Haley, and there were the DeMarcus Wares of the world who came out and were strictly pass rushers and known as pass rushers, nobody has done better, and nobody's been more consistent. Because that's the other thing. A lot of times with pass rushers, you'll get guys that 1 year will have 7 sacks and 1 year will have 15. And you're thinking, where's the real, you know, it's Jekyll and Hyde. This
right.
guy is consistently, I'll read off his stats, his sack numbers, 9, 11, 7.5, 15.5, 14.5, 14.5, 11, 22, 12, 11.5. So he's consistently getting to the quarterback, and those are just the recorded sacks. He's always in the backfield, always creating chaos. This guy is the ultimate defensive end, and if you say his game is a little bit limited, well, this is football right now. Getting to the quarterback is paramount, and nobody does it better than Jared Allen.
And could probably play 2 more years easy.
I think so.
With the Bears, so okay. I would agree. Jared Allen. When you first said the pass rusher, I thought you were going to go with a guy who's been on the Hall of Fame ballot for a long time and has not gotten his just due. And we all know he should be a Hall of Famer, and that's Charles Haley, because Charles Haley's got the most rings. What is it, 5 or 6 rings?
No player has
more than him. And you know, Charles Haley, it's long overdue. Let's get this guy in the Hall of Fame, and him and Tim Brown. So those are 2 other guys that are on the ballot every year, along with the bus, the last 5, 6 years. So they're other Hall of Famers. I got a guy that's still playing too, Ray, and I'm going offense. And he's in probably, I hate to say this, as a Steeler fan in the NFC North, AFC North, this guy is in the best division in the NFL. He's a running back, and he plays in the NFC West. And he is a problem. had injuries early on before he got to the league. He went to the U. His name is Frank Gore. Let me break it down for you what Frank does for the Niners. Before they started winning, he was just their meal ticket and their horse, a crazy horse, just, you know, pounding it away. But not only does this guy, you know, run hard, but for 4.6 yards per carry. You know, right now, basically, only Shady McCoy and Jamaal Charles might be above that. That's pretty impressive for your career to be at 4.6. But, Ray, he's got 9,944 yards. He's got 60 touchdowns, putting it in the end zone. What I also like about Frank Gore, he's not, just one-dimensional. He has 331 receptions, and it's still growing. I think, obviously, the Niners, they've got Kendall Martin. They drafted Lattimore, LaMarcus James. This year, Carlos Hyde. All these guys are going to help him to bring down his carries. But when it comes down to it, and the Niners, you know, in terms of ratio, they, you know, they were number one and two, them and the Seahawks, with him in beast mode in terms of, you know, run pass. You know, nobody runs the ball more than the Niners. And I think this year they'll open it up, but I think it's only going to help Gore to have Stevie Johnson and Brandon Lloyd and Patton and Bolden and Crabtree and Davis. So to me, I think this guy will end his career well over 12,000 yards rushing. You know, this year he'll obviously break the 10,000 and probably break the 11,000 this year. And I can't say anything but great things for Frank Gore, who will be a Hall of Fame running back, especially over his career, Ray. The league's been passing more and more each year that he's played in the game, but he still puts up the yards.
Yeah, it's funny because he's not that dynamic Barry Sanders-type back, but he just moves the chains. He runs north-south, and he just moves the chain. So, yes, like Denzel said, he's a Hall of Famer in my book. So I agree with that.
Man. Listen, it's always fun talking Hall of Famers. Give me another name, because I got a guy in football. You know, obviously we had him on our show. I think Randall Cunningham is definitely somebody borderline. I'd like to see him get in, maybe, you know, on the veteran committee. Obviously Joe Klecko, they might put him in this season. We'll see. Is a veteran, you know, in the defense with the sack exchange for the Jets. But you know who's got pretty impressive stats, man? And people might not show him the love. Donovan McNabb, over 37,000 passing yards, 5 NFC championships. He got to the Super Bowl and lost, you know, once against the Patriots. You know, didn't have the greatest game. 234 touchdowns, Ray, 111 interceptions. Career didn't end so great, but I think Donovan McNabb is one of those guys that he's right there on the edge. Had a pretty great career, and I don't know if he ever had the greatest talent around him in Philadelphia.
He went to, 5 NFC Championship games and won one, went to a Super Bowl. I think he and Kurt Warner are going to be very interesting. Kurt
will get in because he won.
Because he won, exactly. Two MVPs, one Super Bowl. But Donovan was a model of consistency. Now, he wasn't consistently a top three quarterback, but he was a consistently a top 6-7 quarterback. So,
yeah, maybe top 5. And he had less talent, remember, doing more with less. He, you know, was throwing to Todd Pinkston, Freddie X. Mitchell.
Mitchell.
I think he only had T.O. for that 1 year where he got busy with him. And they made it to the Super Bowl.
That's true. So yeah, we'll keep an eye out on him too, because you know, we gotta give Donovan some love. So yeah, no, this was a great show, Hall of Fame Friday. We'll have to do it again.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, the Hall of Fame, they'll be doing their announcements, baseball, football, and basketball. Obviously, August 1st and August 3rd is the NFL. So, and I think the baseball is the 8th. NBA is coming up, so it's going to be fun. It's a great time, great speeches from these guys. You know, look forward to it. But great show. I'm excited. Monday, Ray, it's that time. I know guys are signing up for their leagues. We'll have to start breaking down. Ray and Tay are going to break down on Monday. We'll look at NFL training camps, but we're going to break down on Monday how you draft, strategies, some sleeper guys, what you should do for your draft, our personal views of when we draft a defense or the, you know, the quarterback.
Kickers.
So, yeah, kickers, you know, well, that's the last pick ever, you know.
Well, but some people don't. Some people take
I know.
A kicker early.
It boggles me. It definitely boggles me. So, great show. Everybody have a great sports weekend. Watch some NASCAR at the Brickyard. See if Tony Stewart, you know, does his thing there or my man Jimmy Johnson. Obviously, baseball, things are heating up. Trades are going and stuff. And NFL training camps, Ray, should be fun. Oh, and your boy Andrew Wiggins signed his rookie contract, so we'll have to watch 30 days now if anybody
start,
can jump in and
yeah,
make some Kevin Love moves if the Cavs, maybe the Cavs do it. So we'll see what happens. So thanks for listening.
Have a great weekend.
Talking sports with friends, man.
See you on Monday.
Peace.